Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the sports podcast from the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Star. We're now 8 games into the season and Ipswich Town are in the top half of the table with 12 points. Huddersfield are top with 19, while two of last season's relegated Premier League teams, Norwich and Newcastle, are second and third respectively. Stuart Watson, our chief football writer at Arch and Suffolk, joins me again this week to look back to the Aston Villa game and ahead to Leeds and Brighton. But first, we'll look back at that statement and ask Stuart, does anything in there really surprise us at the moment?
Not a huge amount. I guess obviously Huddersfield top is the standout one, isn't it? I think I said to you in one of our earlier chats that I had Huddersfield down as dark horses this season. I certainly wouldn't have put them top at this stage, but there seems to be a real feel-good factor about them. It was building towards the back end of last season, cheap season tickets, David Wagner building a different style of play there, and a few players sort of come from abroad and whatnot. But I guess that's a surprise, but certainly no surprise surrounding Newcastle and Norwich being up there. The league is slowly but surely starting to take shape, I think.
And in terms of where Ipswich are at the moment, I think we've discussed previously that somewhere between 12th and 7th at the end of the season would be a reasonable season for them. So to see them in 11th at the moment, not too much of a shock, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we've said from day one, haven't we, that sort of a really good season, I think, would see Ipswich 5th, 6th. They're probably in that bracket, aren't they? I think realistically are in that bracket. I see them in that bracket from 7th to 10th, 11th, and the kind of the results and the performances so far haven't really changed my opinion on that so far. But it's a tougher league. I think we say it every year, but I genuinely do think this is the toughest lineup the Championship has had for some time. I think Ipswich have got a better squad than they perhaps have, certainly more attacking options. Whether it's enough to break into that top six, time will tell.
We'll move on to looking at the league in general a little bit as well. Who do you think has been the biggest disappointment in the league so far? Obviously, you've got some quite big names like Blackburn and Cardiff down towards the bottom of the league, but there may be some teams mid-table who'd expect to be doing a little bit better. So what's your take on that at the moment?
Disappointments thus far. Having seen Derby at close quarters the other week, I was impressed with the way they played against Ipswich. Obviously, Town came away with the 1-0 win, but Derby played some good stuff in the first half. But obviously they're struggling for goals and points so far. I thought Nigel Pearson would be a really good appointment for them, but something about Derby at the moment, they've certainly underachieved with the money they've spent and the players they've got there. Blackburn would be another one. I think they're second bottom at the moment. I always had a sort of a sense that things might go a little bit wrong for Blackburn with this sort of the Owen Coyle factor. He was always going to be on the back foot with fans with his Burnley and Bolton connections in the past. But you look at the players that they've got there, you know, Marvin Emnes and Danny Graham. You know, they pipped Ipswich to Liam Feeney in the summer. So they've got a good enough squad there. So, you know, I would say that they're certainly an underachieving side as well at the moment.
So interesting to see there that obviously one of the players who Ipswich are after has gone to a team that's not doing so well at the moment. I'm sure fans will be sort of rubbing their hands and looking playfully on at that. Move on to the most recent game now. Of course, Ipswich drew 0-0 with Aston Villa over the weekend. What's your take on that? Was it a well-deserved point? Was it 3 points missed? Or were Villa unlucky to leave only having got the 1 point?
I think on overall reflection, a draw was probably the fair result. For the best part of the 90 minutes, it wasn't the greatest of games. I don't think it was as bad a spectacle as some have made out. Certainly not in the bracket of some of the games we saw at Portman Road in the second half of last season. Just a very competitive match. Short on shots on target. I don't think Villa had a single shot on target throughout the entire match. Ipswich had one, I think, inside the 90 minutes, and of course it all came to life in those 8 minutes of stoppage time, and Ipswich threw the kitchen sink at them. Two off the line, Freddie Sears hit the post, so on another day they could have nicked it. But overall, draw was probably the right result, I would say.
Did we learn anything about Ipswich from that game? Obviously, it's a 0-0 draw, so you look at it from the outside and just go, we know Ipswich are solid defensively. They've proved that by keeping a clean sheet. We know they need a bit more firepower up front. They proved that by not scoring any goals in that game. But was there anything deeper amongst that that we might have learned that they're maybe moving on, they're trying to resurrect their goal-scoring form?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about sort of, we know that Ipswich are good defensively. I think they maybe lost a little bit of that last season. I know there was a lot of talk and a lot of the emphasis was on the lack of creative options going forward, which you know, played a big part, certainly. But I didn't think they were as good defensively last season as they were the season they finished sixth. Be that down to sort of individuals just sort of falling below their previous standards or the overall sort of organisation and whatnot. But I do think they're bang back at it this season defensively. Four clean sheets from the last six. I think Christoph Behrer is back to his best. I'm not sure he quite hit those same heights last season. I think Jonas Knudsen is better for his first year of experience in the Championship. The midfield's got a better balance about it now. I've been talking to Cole Skuse about that today, and by having those extra creative options in Tom Lawrence and Grant Ward and Connor Grant and a few others, it's really allowed Cole Skuse and Jonathan Douglas just to focus on their role protecting the back four. And I think that's going to be a big thing for Ipswich this season, to getting back to being rock solid at the back. And the hope, of course, is that, you know, that little bit of extra creative spark is going to enable them to turn a few draws into a few extra narrow margins of victory, and came very close to doing it on Saturday. I mentioned in my comment piece on Monday, and perhaps we're being a little bit churlish here, perhaps, you know, I'm nitpicking a little bit, but I just get the feeling with Mick sometimes that you'd just like him to sense when the opposition's there for the taking and just go for a little bit more. And you know, those substitutions with Best and Varney coming on, they came on in the 88th minute. That gave them best part of 10 minutes. I'd just like to have seen them given maybe 15-20, and I think Villa may have crumbled if that had been the case.
I'll come on to that piece that you wrote for the paper about Mick needing more gumption during matches, a little used and underused word in the regional news, I'm sure. He needs to kill off the games earlier, be a bit more bravery is sort of the gist of what you were saying in that piece. Do you think that that's likely, that he's going to start doing that a bit more, or is it going to be the same Mick McCarthy for the rest of the season, leaving it maybe just a little too late before putting those attacking options on to really go at teams that are there for the taking?
Yeah, as I say, I'm maybe nitpicking a little bit and probably being a little bit too harsh. I mean, his starting lineups haven't been negative. That's, you know, we have to say that, because I know people will say, oh, Skuse, Douglas, it's you know, they've been the sort of the boo boys in terms of sort of highlighting Mick's negativity in terms of starting lineups. But I think every team needs that protection. And to be fair, he had Tom Lawrence, Grant Ward, Freddie Sears, just off of Brett Pittman. I mean, they're four fairly attack-minded players there. So I think there is a greater balance. I think he is addressing that greater balance. I think, you know, there was a few turns of phrases that I used last year, sort of functional, not fancy, and things like that. I think that balance is being addressed slowly but surely, and we've talked about the style of play evolving, and I think with no Daryl Murphy that we're seeing signs of that now. But it just comes to substitutions, and I just feel sometimes that Mick is overly pragmatic. There's no question that you need that in this division, and you know, if fans or some fans pick the team, they would probably try and crowbar in every striker and attacking midfielder, which is never going to happen. But I just think Mick goes too far the other way sometimes. He's too stubborn, he's too pragmatic. And there are times where I think, you know, Villa being an example, who have conceded a lot of late goals, confidence may be a little bit low at the moment. Just go for it. Throw caution to the wind. Yes, you might lose the odd game by doing that. Had he gone earlier with the substitutions, they may well have lost 1-0. But I think over the course of the season, by just sensing those moments, you can just pick up an extra two or three more points here and there, which come the final reckoning makes all the difference between maybe finishing fifth and sixth and, say, seventh, eighth, ninth.
We'll move on now to the games that Town have got coming up in the next week. So we've got a Saturday game at Leeds, and then Tuesday night it's the visit of Brighton and Hove Albion. Now those two teams are currently four places below and four places above Ipswich in the table respectively. What do we think Town's chances are, and how many points are they going to get from those two games, do we think?
Well, both tough fixtures, but we seem to be saying that about sort of every month. You know, it was tough start on paper in August, and then you suddenly look ahead to September and say that's a tough month as well. That's the Championship, isn't it? Leeds just ominously seem to be picking up a bit of form just at the wrong time from an Ipswich point of view. Started the season fairly slowly, and there was rumblings that Massimo Cellino's axe was already sort of raised above Gary Monk's head just a few weeks into the season, but they've won three on the bounce now. They won against Blackburn in midweek in the Cup, a really good 2-0 win at Cardiff last weekend as well. So Elland Road is one of those places, I think, when the crowd really get behind them, it can be an intimidating place to play, and I'm sure they'll be roaring them on from the first kickoff. But likewise, if Ipswich can keep them quiet, then it can become an uncomfortable place for home players as well, and they certainly did that last season in winning 1-0 at Elland Road, and the Ipswich players seem to sort of handle those occasions pretty well when they come around. So I think a draw would be a great result on Saturday, and then a home game against Brighton. I think home form is going to be fairly crucial to success for Ipswich this season if they are going to break into that top six, because it was the cornerstone of their success when they did make the playoffs a couple of years ago. The home form just dropped off a little bit, so if they can, as the old cliche goes, make Portman Road a bit of a fortress again, then they could be onto a winner, and obviously so far not lost on home soil, so fingers crossed they can keep that going, but we shall see.
Just looking at sort of those teams we mentioned, obviously we say almost weekly that the fixtures coming up are quite tough. Just looking at the table in general, how much of that do we think is going on teams' past glories? I mean, we talk about Leeds particularly in Elland Road, great old club, lots of history, very difficult ground to go to, as we say. How much of that is us looking at what Leeds used to be like compared to what they're like now? Because they've not had the best few seasons. They obviously had that spell where they were down in League One. How much store do clubs and fans set against looking at the reputation of teams rather than what they're doing in the here and now?
Yeah, it's a really, really good point, that, because I think we're all guilty of doing it sometimes. Leeds, as you mentioned, I mean, I know everyone sort of keeps going on about Ipswich now being in their 15th season outside of the top flight. Leeds are actually in their 13th now, I believe. I know they've obviously, you know, they had a bit of time in League One in that spell, so that division is full of plenty of clubs that have fallen from their lofty perches, and it's not just us, the media and fans, that sort of fall into that trap. I think sometimes, I don't know whether Mick does this purposely or not, but Mick McCarthy seems, you know, he talks up Leeds as being a big club and whatnot, and sometimes you have to concentrate on the here and now. I mean, that was part of my point with the piece talking about the Villa game, and you know, yes, Villa have come down with a lot of money. They're a club that have been in the top flight for a long time, but the here and now is that they're adapting to life in a new division, new manager, virtually a whole new team. They had some key injuries last weekend. Confidence was a little bit fragile, and I think instead of sort of looking at the bigger picture of Villa and everything that people think of them as a club, you had to think of the here and now. And I thought that they were that was as good a time to beat Aston Villa last weekend. So you're right, sometimes we have to sort of forget about not just the long-term history of clubs but medium-term and look at where they're at this given moment in time. And Leeds, yes, we all know the history of them, but that they've been in this division and they're finding it as big a slog as anyone else. But that said, in the very short term, they seem to be picking up a little bit, and I think Gary Monk's a good fit for them. So, tough game on Saturday.
Do you think it's a trap that people will fall into? Because obviously, as time goes on, there are going to be fewer and fewer clubs that haven't been in the top division, and we're looking at people now like Bournemouth with Eddie Howe, who are in the top division, if they get relegated at some point in the near future, people are going to start looking at them as a big club, whereas maybe a few years ago they weren't doing that. So does looking at results and fixtures on paper have even less significance than it may have done in the past, because suddenly we've now been in more than 100 years of football. Actually, everyone's been a big club at some point, I suppose, haven't they?
Yeah, I guess things go in cycles, don't they? I'm sure the Manchester United, it will be referred to as the Manchester United era at some point in the future, just as Liverpool had their time and others. Certain clubs have obviously sort of been in the top flight longer than most, but it's been a bit more transient between the divisions. I think the gap in quality between the lower half of the Premier League down to League One, which is a really competitive league, I think the gap is getting smaller, and you're seeing players move up through the divisions and cope. Teams go up through the divisions and cope. You mentioned Bournemouth, which have obviously just gone and signed Adam Webster from League Two, and he's sort of slotted in quite quickly. So I think that shows that the gap between the leagues isn't that tough. I know the debate with Ipswich always comes up that maybe it would be a good thing if they went down and they could start again and build some confidence, just as Norwich did and Southampton did in terms of going down and getting back-to-back relegations. But I've seen a fair bit of League One football, having sort of reported on Colchester for a number of years. That's a good division, let me tell you. And Leicester had a few years down there. Leeds did as well. Both Sheffield clubs. It's not just a case of go down there, win every game, and come back sort of feeling a bit better about yourself. So I know the sort of the Groundhog Day nature of Ipswich being in the Championship is of frustration, but there's a lot of clubs that would swap positions as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, Portsmouth for one as well. They went down and they've just continued to fall, really. It's not gone quite as well for them as it has for Leicester, for example. We'll focus back on Ipswich again now, but rather than the matches that we've got coming up, I just want to thought your thoughts 8 games into the season now. Who do you think's been Town's standout player so far, and who do you think needs to step up to the mark a bit more, hasn't quite been performing to the levels that perhaps we know they can?
Standout player so far, I think you've got to say that Bartosz Białkowski has certainly continued on from where he left off at the back end of last season, and that was a point I raised recently, that for all the positives you take out of Ipswich's start to the season, when your goalkeeper is quite often the one coming away with most of the plaudits, you have to sort of question that at times. Christoph Behrer, as I mentioned earlier, I think he's back to his best, and that partnership between him and Adam Webster is looking one that could really thrive in the weeks to come. Been really impressed with Adam and the way he's taken two steps up in his stride. I guess in terms of they would be your main ones, really. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Grant Ward obviously had a fantastic start with his debut, and that's got him a few credits in the bank. He's been a little bit quieter in recent games, but I think he'll be a really good signing and has added a different dimension to the team in terms of the type of player he is. But it's just been a generally solid sort of team start to the season so far. No real standout star men, I don't think. Just the team in general's just been pretty solid.
And is there anyone that you feel has maybe not reached that same level or has got more to come? Perhaps they've not been bad so far, but they've just not shown us everything that we know they're capable of.
Yeah, I mean Freddie Sears obviously is toiling away on the left. His goal drought has been well highlighted. I think that's at 34 games now, but you do have to accept that he is playing a role that is not his forte. But I think there have been times where the shortage of confidence in Freddie has shown. It's not just the lack of goals, but he just doesn't quite sort of, he's not going past people in the way that he used to. My personal sense is maybe every player has a tipping point when they need to come out of the team, have a bit of a rest and be rejuvenated. I think Freddie, for all of the great work he does, which is unquestionable, the selfless running and everything that Mick loves about him, maybe to have a little bit of a step back from the team, I don't know. But Kevin Brew would maybe be another one. he's been sort of playing in that number 10 role, the one with a bit more license to get forward. Very busy, gets about, but a bit too inconsistent on the ball, and I thought it made a big difference against Villa last weekend with Tom Lawrence in that number 10 role. So maybe Brew you would put down as a slight disappointment.
So maybe those two players, Sears and Brew, maybe spend a little bit of time coming on as substitutes and just working themselves back up again Mick's got those options.
I think Sears will play week in, week out. I don't think Mick's got any plans at all to drop Freddie, because you know we all know that Mick loves players that graft for the team and do that job. So I think Freddie will continue to play in that left-sided role. That was just me talking from a personal point of view. But I think Kevin Brew might be usurped by Tom Lawrence for that role. He was very impressive both off the bench against Derby and starting against Villa last weekend. He linked up well with Brett Pittman. So I think Lawrence will be starting the most games if he continues to play the way he has done.
There we go then. So we'll look out for that in the near future with Town's lineups in upcoming games. As I say, we've got Leeds on Saturday, Brighton on Tuesday. But that's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. Next week, we will look back, of course, at those two games, Leeds and Brighton, see how they turned out. But until then, thanks to Stuart and thanks for listening.